Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. First, I'd like to remind everyone that our annual Slichot dessert reception is tonight at 9:30 p.m., followed up by Slichot at 10:45 p.m. I'd like to thank Sonny and Ken Rosenstein for sponsoring the delicious pastries from Rowling's Bakery that will be served at the event tonight. Our custom has it that we recite the Slichot service during the period leading up to Rosh Hashanah, even though, as we've explained in years past, Slichot are not recited on Rosh Hashanah and have no apparent connection to Rosh Hashanah. In fact, we're not even supposed to mention sin in Rosh Hashanah, as evidenced by the Arizal's extreme position to omit any prayers in the Rosh Hashanah service that even mention the term chet, the transgression. In this light, we need to understand why it's appropriate for Slichot to be the preface to Rosh Hashanah. I think one explanation is that Slichot prayers express humility, because we are admitting to wrongdoing when we say them. So it makes sense that this week's parasha, which introduces tonight's Slichot services, begins with the mitzvah of the first fruits that were brought to the Beit HaMikdash each year in Shavuot to thank God for granting us these fruits. We've explained before that both the word bracha, blessing, and the word bikurim, first fruits, have the root bet, kaf, and resh, which correspond to the number 222. Bet is 2, kaf is 20, and resh is 200. The number 2 is a sign of humility, because we are expressing that God is number 1, so to speak, and we are always second to God. However, I think there is another reason for this aggregate of twos in the connection with first fruits. Another interesting factoid about this week's parsha is that Rashi explains in Masechet Sotah daf Lamed Zayin Amud Bet that here, for the first time, we're introduced to the concept of Arvut, Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh B'Zeh, the responsibility which all Jews have for one another when Ki Tavo El Haaretz, when we enter the land of Israel as described at the beginning of our parsha. Arvut is also the source of the law that allows us to say a blessing, recite Kiddush, or perform other obligations such as shofar blowing on behalf of somebody else. I think the key to understanding these issues is to look at the unique concept which frames our parsha, the importance of gratitude. At the beginning of the parasha, we perform the mitzvah of bringing the first fruits, which are accompanied by our expression of gratitude, the famous Arami Oved Avi paragraph we recite and learn from during the Pesach Seder, where we declare Ve'itain lanu et ha'aretz hazot, that God gave us the land of Israel. Rashi explains that we make this declaration in order not to be a kafui tova, or rejecter of God's favors. At the end of the Torah portion, we see the same concept. But Moshe berates the Jewish people for being a nation of ingrates, as explained by the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Hem and Aleph. The Gemara there connects the Jews' attitude to the attitude of Adam HaRishon, who was also not grateful for God's gifts to him. The Gemara there refers to the Jews as Kafui Toiva, B'nei Kafui Toiva, ingrates who descend from an ingrate. Now, there are many people who think it's a worthy character trait to reject gifts. And indeed, King Solomon said in Mishlei, Sonei Matanot Yichyeh, those who hate gifts will live, implying it's a good thing to reject gifts. However, as noted, we learn otherwise from the story of Adam. After his transgression of eating the fruit from the Eitz Hadaat, the fact that God called Adam an ingrate indicates that that issue of not being grateful for God's gifts was at the root of his transgression. Similarly, in Parshat Vayera, God says that part of the primary reason he loves Avraham is Laman Havi Hashem El Avraham Et Asher Diber Alav, the fact that Avraham teaches his children to accept the gifts God bestows on him. Additionally, when the Rambam teaches at the end of Hilchot Shuvah that although one should not serve God amanat lekabel schar on the condition to receive reward, he also tells us b'sof ha'tovat yavo b'glala, that it is nonetheless vitally important to happily and willingly accept the gifts that we do receive from God. Similarly, the Rambam says in Hilchot Lulav Perchet Hel Halacha Tetvav that one must experience happiness when performing mitzvot. And v'kol hamanei atzmo misimcha zu, if one repudiates these feelings of happiness, they deserve retribution. He learns this rule from the verse in our parasha, which tells us, which incredibly tells us that the reason for all the curses on the Jewish people in our exile is that we weren't happy keeping the Torah. The Rambam is teaching us that the clear implication here is that we must be happy to accept the rewards we receive for keeping the Torah. While it is admirable to be cautious about freeloading or accepting things for free, it is inappropriate to reject gifts in the context of a meaningful relationship, because that would be tantamount to rejecting the relationship. If you cannot graciously accept gifts from anyone else, you're destined to be alone your whole life. And that's why this week's parsha teaches us the importance of not being an ingrate. We must willingly acknowledge the fact that God gives us many things to be grateful for, because His gifts are in the context of our relationship with Him, and we should be happy and embrace that. This could also be why we learned the rule of Arvut, responsibility for one another, in this week's parsha, because accepting gifts from others reflects our connection to the Jewish people. This could also be why our blessing equates with the number 222, because the number 2 is a symbol of our relationship. Our parsha therefore teaches us a vital lesson as we approach Rosh Hashanah, that we should distinguish between accepting handouts which rob us of our independence and accepting gifts in the context of a meaningful relationship. Rosh Hashanah is a day we focus on creating our unique individual potential for the coming year, but we recite with Slichot in advance of that day to remind us that Rosh Hashanah is not the end point and independence is not the goal. We must remember that God placed Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur, not afterwards. The importance of the independence we cultivate on Rosh Hashanah is to lay the groundwork for Yom Kippur. God's judgment of our individual potential is only a means to an end, which in terms of the Aseret Meitzuvah, the 10 days that are dedicated to return to God, the end is Yom Kippur. Today we focus on choosing to strengthen our relationship with God. The Parsha reminds us that if we remember that our relationship with God must include our acknowledgement and joyous acceptance of His gifts to us, which include forgiveness and a meaningful life, we will have this understanding necessary for a spiritually successful high holiday season. Shabbat Shalom.